If you don't know me, I'm Lou. I'm one of the pastors here, along with Jez, he's over there. And it's a privilege to help lead this church with others, so it's a real joy. And in this season, we are going to be thinking about what's really important to us as a church. What's our values? What's in our DNA? We do have a slogan, actually. Anyone know what it is? It's sort of an unofficial one, I will tell you that. What? You know what it is, Peter. The slogan. You're struggling, aren't you? I'll give you a clue. Sharing is caring. That would be good. Is sharing faith, building community. That's actually our slogan. It's sort of an unofficial one because the previous pastor came up with it all on his own. But it was on some stuff for a while. Sharing faith and the sort of idea of sharing faith in Christ and building community around Christ is what we're about. Okay, so I just thought I'd share that with you this morning. See, it didn't go very far. And that's the thing, isn't it, about slogans or principles, values, DNA. Unless we talk about them, we often don't know why we're here and what we're doing. So this is going to be helpful, this little series. How many values do we have? Anyone know? Oh, Anna, brilliant. Five values. Now, just have a little think in your head. I'm not going to tell you them, but what are they? Ali's just shaking her head. We've got five things that we think are fundamental to a church community. And I'm going to talk about number one today, which is sharing our faith. Okay? So that's where we're going. Right. Let's get going. So, slides are going to be done by Jeff, so they should go smoothly, or they could go very fast. Who knows? Okay, in 2015, the Talking Jesus research was first carried out. It was commissioned by church leaders across multiple denominations. It wasn't just one church community, to assess the state of the faith of the UK. And there were surprising results. Despite the decline in church attendance from those who like record these things, we don't, but some people do, some churches do, there were some astonishing results. Okay, one thing they saw was that Christians were still faithfully and regularly sharing their faith with their friends and family. And surprisingly, 43%, which I find very hard to believe, stated they believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Unbelievable, really. Now, 7 years later, 2022, they did this research again. Post-pandemic, the research was done. That's 7 years, okay? And those who associated themselves with the Christian faith had dropped by 10%. And the amount of nuns, you know, like if you get a form, what faith are you? And you've got the one at the bottom that says nun, okay, the nuns, had increased. 26% of themselves now associated with agnosticism or atheism. They were the second largest faith group. And the highest number of people associating with that or nuns was the 18 to 24s. So the youngest people. Now, from a 2022 point of view, we might describe the situation as fully tied out, we might say. Despite faithful witness, it's still been carrying on. Attendance is dropping, faith is dropping, nuns are rising. In 2022, 48% said they associated themselves as Christian, but only 6% were practicing Christians. That is, they go to church at least once a month, and they say they would pray and potentially read their Bible. The idea that Jesus is a mythical figure had risen from 22% to 28%. So in 2022, the landscape is looking pretty bleak, and I will say, despite faithful Christian witness, sharing their faith, saying the difference that Jesus has made, caring for the poor, loving the vulnerable, despite that, it's on the decline. And it must have been about this time that we as a community began to take very seriously this percentage. We looked at our own community. Only 3% were in this age, the youngest age bracket. And we began to pray for those people in this bracket, the six sort of, starting from 16 right up to like 25. We began to pray for them every week. We were praying monthly at our prayer meetings. In January 24, we made it our priority. You remember that service where we got together and we brainstormed what is going on and what can we do? And despite the statistics and secularists welcoming the decline as an inevitable consequence, there has been, in the last few years, a surprisingly different landscape emerging than the one they predicted. Across the UK, there has been a bubbling up, a renewed interest in the Christian faith, with many people choosing to seek out church for help, community, purpose, and truth. So what has happened? What caused the trend to reverse? This phenomenon has been explored by academics. It's been written about in newspapers. People are wondering why. Paul Williams is the chief executive officer of the Bible Society, and he writes in the foreword of a report they did recently on this phenomenon. He said the past few decades have witnessed a widespread empirical falsification of the secularization thesis, mainly because in all parts of the world, except Western Europe, the world has become more, not less, religious. And this report, the one that they've just produced, suggests that even this outliner, Western Europe, may not remain so for much longer. So what has caused Christianity to start trending, as my daughter says? What has called the faithful words of the few to no longer fall on deaf ears or aggressive ears, but to fall on soft, good soil? It's what many are calling a quiet revival. Ears that were deaf now ask questions. They are hungry to meet with Christians. They want to read the Bible and they want to learn about Jesus. The Bible has been dusted off. Seekers have become amazed at its beauty and discovering truth and its wisdom for the first time. We might say God is on the move. And many describe, who've come to faith, they describe the emptiness they felt before, the hole they could not fill. Everything was offered up to them to give their lives purpose, meaning, and joy was utterly empty. And those coming to faith, 59% will come in a year, jumping to 74% who have no faith background at all. They're not only coming to faith, but they're coming to faith fast. And these new Christians need discipling as they face the challenges to change old habits, to learn to follow Jesus within his family, the church. So today we are highlighting our core value of Portsford Church. It's always been a core value. Mission both where we are and globally. The mission of God is to rescue and restore his creation to a loving, life-giving relationship. And we are part of that. We are offering rescue from brokenness and despair, restoration within community and our lives and our families. And Jesus says to all, come, follow me. Do what I do, say what I say, be conformed to my likeness. And just as Jesus was sent by the Father in love, we too, motivated by love, are sent by him. We are sent by the sent one. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And we can't get away from that. This church was planted in 1928, so it's nearly 100 years old. Joy would have been 3 at this point. It was planted by a Brethren community up from St. Mary's into the up-and-coming development of Portswood. New houses were being built, people were moving in, and the church erected a mission to do a tent to do mission, to declare who God was, to describe him, to serve the neighbourhood. And very shortly, they built this place. It became the new Gospel Hall and eventually became Portswood Church. And over the years, they outreached to seafarers. They had a mission to that, to men, to retired, to homeless, to the lonely, to women. At one point, we had to have 100 women attending our women's weekly group here in the building. Can you imagine that? Just a weekly group, over 100 women. God was on the move. And as a church, all churches, we have mission as part of our DNA. If we don't, then we are not functioning well at best. Imagine having a chromosome missing, what effect that has on the human body. Well, imagine a church without this key bit of chromosome mission. What might it look like, or what might happen to it? As a church, we need to be committed. Paul writes to Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage, and with great patience and careful instruction. Okay, so in season and out of season. As a nation, it's felt hard ground, but now it's soft. The Holy Spirit is moving. And over the years, many have prayed faithfully. They've prayed for revival, and they've gone to be with Jesus. And like those we see in Hebrews, when it talks about the faithful people who never saw, they didn't see. But perhaps our generation will get to see people coming back to Christ. Right now in the UK, we are seeing what some call, we're on the crest of an in-season crop. The harvest is maturing, it's plentiful. And we are praying that our church would not be lacking in workers. We want to be a church that's saying instead, here I am, Lord, send me. Now, I don't know if you've heard this before, but as Christians, we don't have something called retirement from being a Christian. It goes on, okay? So don't sit back and think, that was my time, we'll let these younger people do it. Yeah, they will, but no one gets to sit on the side and watch. We can't sit back and watch hundreds walk past our doors and do nothing to offer them a chance to hear the good news. We need to be asking for more of the Spirit, not just for moral transformation, which of course is good, isn't it? We want to be transformed into Jesus' likeness, and we need the Spirit to do that. But we need to be praying for a spirit of boldness, that both together and in our families and our workplace, schools, neighbourhoods, and here on the high street, in groups we do here, we have boldness to share our faith, the hope that we have. We have amazing good news of a God who loves us, who wants to restore us, give us good things for our lives, purpose, hope, freedom. So why would we not share that? Research done in 2022 showed that even then, 1 in 3 people who engaged in a conversation with Christians were open to knowing more and experiencing Jesus for themselves. So maybe you have been rejected. Maybe the relationship afterwards felt a bit awkward. I know that's happened for me a number of times. But maybe the next conversation you have will be with a person who really has questions, who wants to dip their toe in and have an opportunity to meet Jesus. And as a church, we know mission is more than words. It is living the kingdom, sharing life, caring for the poor, feeding the hungry, binding up the brokenhearted. We know that mission is not just local, but it is global too. Jesus wanted his disciples to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And that's why we have partners, people of our community scattered across the globe that are involved in local business, in compassion with refugees, as well as Bible translation. We know that mission is charged and empowered. It is the engine or the petrol or whatever you want to say, the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, we are carriers of the kingdom, and the kingdom breaks through as we overflow with a message of hope by the power of the Spirit. We've spent 10 years, I think over 10 years in leadership, encouraging and affirming people's front lines. That's where you guys spend most of your time, whether that's at work or with family or at home with kids, or whether that's in a community that you now live in. Just your front line. And we want you to be blessings, to model goodness, to work with integrity. Wherever you find yourself, be it in government like Nehemiah, be it at home with kids like Lois and Eunice teaching Timothy, or even in prison like Joseph. We are called to be witnesses. So what does this season, this in-season, look like? What does it look like right now? Well, we are living in a season where church attendance is growing. There's been a 56% increase in church attendance over the last few years. Do you know that? 56%. We are living in a season where the demographic of church is changing from people in their 60s plus to people in their 20s. The church is going to look quite different. The fastest growing demographic is the 18 to 24s. They are coming faster than anyone else. So how do we feel about that? Are we excited about this? When they come, are we going to welcome? Are we going to love? Are we going to disciple? Are we going to moan, ignore, get a bit annoyed that they've upset the way we do things and it's not quite how it used to be? How will we respond to this new wave? We are living in a season where new Christians are hungry for the Bible. Will we, who've sat in pews for years, step up and pass on what we've learned? Or will we hide behind false humility that says, I don't know anything and I'm not a very good Christian? Because if you know who Jesus is, if you know what he did on the cross, if you are seeking to follow him, however much you are limping along, you're ready. And we are living in a season where new believers are serious about community. Could you welcome a new believer into your family, into your life? Genuinely care for a young Christian. We are living amongst those who are described as a spiritual generation. 35% of 18 to 24-year-olds believe in a higher power. They want to communicate with that higher power. So are you willing to share who you think the higher power is, how you pray, and what it looks like to read the Bible? We are living in a season where anxiety and loneliness is off the chart and described as an epidemic. However, those who attend a church describe a significantly less anxiety in their lives. And for young men, it is off the chart in terms of isolation, or like less isolation if they're part of a church, because young men are the most isolated. We are living in a season where people want to make a difference, to engage in activities that benefit others. And that should like sound like the church to us. And above all, we need to be those who are willing to walk alongside. It's been our focus for this year, and many have done the alongside a course to try to increase not their knowledge, but their confidence in how to walk alongside someone. Have you thought about doing that? And if you haven't, would you consider it? Speak to Jez. Say, I'd like to do the alongside a course. I feel terrified. That's okay. We all do. But we have what we need. We have a basic knowledge and we have the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. And some people have started already meeting with people in twos and threes and one-to-ones to disciple, to share what they know. They're saying, I haven't got it right, I fail all the time, but I'm willing to walk with you and pass on what I do know so far and share my failures. In Jesus' final words, we find in Matthew's gospel, he talks about going, but then he says, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching to obey. Mission is never a hit and run affair, a message chucked at people in the streets. It's a calling to people to come follow Jesus, a better way, and to do it with us in community. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Paul viewed himself as an example, but he certainly didn't consider himself to be perfect because he described himself as the worst of sinners. So if you think you need to be perfect, that's not an excuse. In terms of excuses, think of the examples of the Bible of people who said, like Moses, I can't speak. God said, you got me. You have an amazing God. And some are reluctant. We may feel almost resentful. The fact that no one has walked with us. We were brought in and left to feel our way with nothing but a weekly lecture to fill in the gaps. And if that's you, then it's time to forgive. And to acknowledge it wasn't okay and it wasn't how it should be. But you have had the Holy Spirit, who's the greatest teacher of all. And today we can ask him to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, to be bold where we're timid, to reach out where we're tempted to withdraw, to step up where you're tempted to step aside, and to think God has no use for you anymore. Our young people need you. They need your wisdom and your experience. They need you, and you need them. The reason you need them is because we need their enthusiasm, their hope that they realize they're experiencing for the first time ever. You need their challenge as they watch you as their example of how to live for Christ. Perhaps your faith has got you lazy. You're drifting, waiting for heaven, or like someone on a cruise in their retirement, or like those really enormously fat people in the film WALL-E who are going around on chairs. Portswood Church, we can watch the quiet revival, or we can be a part of this revival. We've got outreach starting in 2 weeks. Every night we'll be outside giving out leaflets, giving out sweets, giving out candy floss. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism to do the work of an evangelist. You don't have to be the bravest person in the world to make a cup of tea. But we can reach out to a generation just walking past in their hundreds who want to know who Jesus is. So, lots for you to think about. But do we want Jesus to use us? Let's pray. Jesus, a lot of us want you to use us, but we feel scared. We feel like we haven't got what it takes. We feel overwhelmed with life. We feel like we've barely got our head above the water. Jesus, we need your Holy Spirit. We need you to fill us with a boldness and a willingness to be obedient to you. We're sorry for the times we've let things drift by when we've thought, I can't do it, I've got nothing. I'm no one. And forgotten that we have you. Jesus, we just praise you for what you're doing in this country. We want to praise you for those people who are hungry to know you. And we want to see that here in our community. Please help each one of us to hear from you, to know, what could I do? And to say the words, "Here I am, Lord, send me."